You're locked in to Elevated Radio FM. Radio FM. Radio.
And welcome to Elevated Radio. My name is Rick Delgado. I'm your host, and welcome to Our Beliefs Define Our Universe with Ellie Rosell, the owner at Core Belief Engineering. If you want to find out more about her, the great work she does, how it can be beneficial to you, reach out to her. She's based out of White Rock, British Columbia in Canada. Go to corebelief.ca. That's C-O-R-E belief, corebelief.ca, or give her a call and find out more at 604-536-7402. Ellie Rosell, welcome back, and how are you?
I am extremely good. It's a very interesting time.
You can say that again. And, you know, along with being the owner at Core Belief Engineering, and counseling as well. You're an author with the book Changing the Mind, Healing the Body, 8 Case Studies in Transformational Belief Change Work, which we've talked about in the past. And we've got an interesting subject for today, again, regarding, let's face it, core values, core beliefs. We're going to be getting to that in just a moment. But before we do, just give everybody a quick little background on yourself. Anybody who could be hearing you for the first time, Ellie.
Sure. I'll try to be very brief because they can always go back and hear the earlier interview.
Right, exactly.
But yeah, the basically I started this in early 1980s because I was looking for my own solutions to my particular problems, which at that time were a severe eating disorder. And in my searches and trainings and exploration, I stumbled into a method that actually turned my life around, and since then it's been able to turn lots and lots of people's lives around in positive ways. And it's a method where you sit with a person and guide an inner dialogue, and I work to find the place in the mind or the locations in the mind where change can happen.
Right. And it's a talk therapy type of thing, right?
That's correct. Yeah, it's definitely a talk therapy.
Right. So people don't have to worry about, you know, drugs or pharmaceuticals, that kind of thing.
Not at all.
All right.
Not at all. In fact, if anything, it might even help them start a weaning process.
Right. You know what? And it's interesting because last week we were talking about spirituality, and sometimes people get that confused with religion, and you know, kind of get
exactly.
a little uneasy about it, but it's nothing to do with it. It's completely separate. But today we're going to be talking about something else because, you know, those mm-hmm. beliefs lead us down to how our life manifests itself, right?
That's right. I mean, it's truly, everything seems to be connected to everything else, even though some things we put into categories as separate. Like we would say money and prosperity have nothing to do with spirituality, but
right.
In fact, if you have a very, your spiritual beliefs can determine how much money you allow into your life. It's can be, you know, you may believe that it's very wrong and evil to have too much money, and so you just do everything you can to block it. But most people just don't understand money at all. It's they see money as a necessity of life, which it is,
mm-hmm.
in our society. But at the same time, there's so many mixed feelings about it because people when you ask yourself, how do you feel about rich people? Well,
right.
You'll get a lot of negative answers. And some people, or maybe smug answers of people who are already rich and saying, well, you know, that's, you know, everybody chooses whether they're rich or poor. And, you know, that's true, but at the same time, there are people who, no matter how hard they try, they never get out of the category they're in financially.
Right. Now, let's talk about those people because, you know, like you said, no matter how hard they try, maybe they love rich people. You know, maybe they're
right.
Like, you know what, that's what I'm aspiring to. That's the American dream. I want the bigger house. I want the bigger car. You know, I want to be able to vacation because, you know, let's face it, that's, you know.
It makes life more comfortable.
Right.
And life is more fun.
More fun, exactly. Who wouldn't want that?
That's right.
So what have you found that potentially holds some of those people back?
Well, a lot of it is you have to look back to their family orientation. Many people believe they shouldn't be richer than their parents. Many people believe they should. So, like, you know, again, I'm making certain generalizations that, you know, can be, you know, looked at from different perspectives. But quite often people will just identify with a certain, you might say, socioeconomic level, and they identify with it as belonging there, and they feel comfortable there. And so when they move up in the world, they're feeling ostracized by their friends. They have to, and they're considered the nouveau riche by the people who are already, wealthy.
Right.
That, you know, there's difficulty in acceptance, all around when there's that big a change. There's also just, you know, people will often feel guilty if they do get money because they have money and their friends don't, or there's someone in their lives are still suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And we start looking into, well, maybe we should introduce socialism. Well, you know, I don't know if that's the answer, but it's, the thing is that there really shouldn't be poor people in our world. And I think too many people think, you know, like you get rich as Bill Gates and you can say, okay, well, I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to be very generous and give my money away because I've got so much of it, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where some people can get richer if they're getting more wealthy in their life because they want to be able to give back. They want to have enough to be able to give back.
Right.
And I think that's a big motivation that helps people to move out of a category rather than saying, I want to be rich so I can have a car and I can have a house and, you know, I can keep up with the Joneses.
Right.
It's I want to be rich because I want, you know, not only do I want to live well, but I want to help others live well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who doesn't feel like, you know what, once I do have some money, you know, I am going to share it with those people closest to me. Maybe not, you know, start a charity.
Right.
Maybe it's, you know, you're not talking about that kind of money. But what they define as rich, because everybody's got different levels. Everybody's, you know, just because somebody might say, hey, I made $1 million, and then the guy who makes 20 million goes, eh, that's nice. Really look at that as considered rich. You know, meanwhile, the guy who's making, you know, 10,000 is looking up going, man, I would do anything to make 20.
Right. Well, something that I've been sort of studying up on is what drives us to, in societally. And one of the big emotions that it drives us is envy. We want to have what everybody else has. We're envious of, you know, all of that. And envy is a very strong emotion to either sabotage someone else or celebrate them and admire them.
Right.
And of course we know it's preferable to celebrate and admire because then people will tend to celebrate and admire when we're successful.
Right. Well,
so there's
sometimes.
Yeah,
you know what? You do have those people, Ellie, that they want to do well. They don't want to see anybody else do well. Unfortunately, I had the unfortunate what do you call it? Experience of working with a few of those people in the past, and you know what? They do what they can to try and sabotage you. It's like, why?
That's right. Because they do not believe they can do it. This is the biggest thing. I think the people who want, like you were saying, people want to have the good life, and I believe that we need to, there's some things that need to be in place. Is that I deserve it, and that it's, you know, regardless of my background, I'm worthy, and I'm worthy of it, and there's a sense of being open on many levels, not just the financial level, but on the emotional level, being abundant emotionally with loving people, or caring about people, even, you know, even if you don't love them, you know, to be respectful and caring.
Right.
I mean, these kinds of things open up the door. They set the groundwork for prosperity. And even when a person isn't very well off, you'll notice that, well, gosh darn, even when I haven't been well off, I, you know, didn't have enough money, in other words, I found that there was always a chicken in the pot. There was always something there. I could always find a way to eat. I could always find something where a job would appear or something that I could do. And even just giving would attract people giving back.
Right.
And I think that it's, if we're afraid of people or if we're afraid of loss, one of the biggest things I think of all that helps people, that blocks people and sabotages them is their fear of loss.
Yeah.
is that if they have money, they're going to lose it. And so they hang on to it. And I think of the billion billionaires, many of them are caught in greed because of that desperate fear of loss. They don't have the inner security that says, you know, I can always do well no matter how much I have.
Right.
My comfort zone is wide. I can be poor or rich and I'll be fine in the world. We have to have another $1 billion to shore up my security, you know.
Right. Well, you know, and you know what? People make that point about, you know, certain business people, rich people, what have you, is like, oh, you know, and you hear about the ones that are always, you know, take President Trump, for example. He claimed bankruptcy like, what, 4 times?
That's what I've heard.
But you know what? It's one of those things where he made a great point. There's an ocean of money out there. You just got to figure out how to get it. So
that's
it's like, all right.
How to tap into it and use it. And
like you said, you got to be willing to lose it. Or else you're going to be able to make it. If you're trying to just hold on, that's the first. That's the first problem. Is that you're cutting yourself off, and now all of a sudden, as you're trying to hold on, you're cutting off any more of it coming towards you.
You block the flow of energy.
Right.
And that's right. And the thing is that sense of openness on many levels, not just on money, but on many levels, and whether it's spiritual, whether it's just social, but getting rid, I think solving our fears, the fears of loss, the fears of abandonment, these are the things that underlie a lot of our poverty.
Yeah.
And also, people don't know. I mean, I agree that people have been victimized. There have been some people who have undergone some terrible things in their lives. All of us have.
Right.
But I think the thing is not to deny that we were victimized, but to say, yeah, okay, so, and next, you know, I'm
what am I
going to
do about it?
What am I going to go on and do? Because I don't have to. You don't have to stay a victim.
Right.
And too many people are still getting vindictive about it. You know, the world owes me a living because I was so abused, and it's I deserve better than this. And so they just keep waiting for it to happen, and all things just get worse.
and by doing that, they sabotage themselves. Again, we're talking with Ellie Rosell on Our Beliefs Define Our Universe. Hey, we've got a caller online. Let's go there.
Oh, great.
Caller, hello. What's your name?
Hi, how you doing? My name's John.
Hey, what's happening, Josh? How are you?
Nothing much. So I just had a quick question for you, and it kind of goes back to what you guys were discussing earlier. I'm having this experience with my roommate currently. We currently work in the same industry, and I am finding more success currently, more financial success. And, you know, I come back, I get excited, I tell him how much I'm making, and it's kind of causing a rift in our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He's not making that kind of money, and I am, and I'm pumped because this is the first time I'm making this kind of money in my life, and I'm excited about it.
Right, and you should be.
Yeah, but I find that it's, I don't know, maybe alienating him a little bit and causing some jealousy. So I don't know. What do you think I should do to help our relationship out?
Yeah, if you want to keep it, I would say, first of all, understand that just understand what he's going through. I mean, he is envious and he's jealous and it's hard and he's afraid you're going to abandon him and possibly he doesn't really believe that he can make more. I don't know if he's got any kind of a handicap that would prevent him from improving, but tell him, I hope to be here to inspire you. I hope that this will inspire you. I want to inspire you. How can I help? And, you know, offer, you know, discuss with him what he feels is holding him back and see if that, you know, maybe he can start thinking outside of his box. I mean, you obviously have. Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, I just, I always want to bring people up with me. I never want to put them down in any way.
Exactly. You may not, and of course you won't. Just keep just trust yourself because your intention is to help him, not to lord it over him. And he's just not sure of himself. He really is insecure about that. And I would suggest that you give him a little boost and tell him that it's, you know, you're this is happening to you and it's meant to benefit him as well. not that you hand him money, but that he can be inspired and that he can start, you know, looking beyond what his limitations have been.
Right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, appreciate that.
And whatever you do, stay positive. I mean, you know, now that you're doing better, don't feel guilty about it.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah,
at all. Thank you, guys.
Keep on going. Yeah. You bet.
Exactly. And you know what? Also, look up Milton Friedman. If you want to really learn about money and how it's capitalism versus socialism. I know you brought up socialism before, if that's the answer.
Yes.
Milton Friedman, genius. He can explain it all to you. Let's face it.
Excellent suggestion.
Yeah, because he pretty much puts it out there, without capitalism, there is no charity. Nobody would have the money to give the charity to create these things. And it's well worth, you know, doing a little research and finding that out. Again, we're talking with our guest, Ellie Rosell. Our beliefs define our universe. If you want to reach out to her, she's the owner at Core Belief Engineering Counseling, 604-536-7402, or go to the website, corebelief.ca. Quick break. More with her after these words right here on Elevated Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, your body. On drums, the heart. On sax, it's the lungs. And on horns, the digestive system.
Diarrhea can leave your body feeling out of tune. Only Imodium Instants disperse instantly on your tongue and can stop diarrhea within 1 hour, gently restoring your body's harmony. Imodium Instants, fast but gentle.
Contains loperamide, can stop diarrhea within 1 hour. Always read the label.
Matthew.
Sorry.
It's okay. I just need you to listen to me.
I know that a lot of times, Mom, it might not seem like I'm listening to you, but I am. I hear you. And what you say really does matter to me.
I mean, let's be honest. No kid likes rules, but I get why we have them. I hear you, and I know it's because you care.
For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
You're locked in to Elevated Radio FM. Radio FM.
And welcome back to Elevated Radio again. My name is Rick Delgado. I'm your host, and you're listening to Our Beliefs Define Our Universe with Ellie Rosell. She's the owner at Core Belief Engineering. Reach out to her, corebelief.ca, that's C-O-R-E, corebelief.ca, or give her a call directly. More than happy to take your calls. It's 604-536-7402. And again, we're talking about a core belief. Core values, really, when it comes to money, rich people, poor people, what we think, how we end up there, right, Ellie?
Yes, and a lot of it, too. Let's look at the subject of success. People, you know, success and failure. I mean, this is a common, you know, we in our society, we believe in success and we want to have success.
Right.
And if we don't succeed, we fail, right? And it's kind of a dichotomy. And I think, you know, I think that people, when they are successful, it's a multiple level success. You know, we may say, okay, I made all this money, and that is a kind of success. But if we're not happy, then of course it's kind of an empty success.
Right.
And so looking at, the our core values around success and money, is money a, you know, so many people still, deep in their psyche, still hold that money is evil or that the love of money is evil.
Right.
And that, you know, I think it's okay. I think it's okay to love money, but love everything. Don't just love money.
Right.
Love experience. And if we're, you know, having a success means what? Well, that we're number one in our category, that we've risen to the top of the ladder, or that we've just had a happy day. You know, success is so variable and so many degrees of success.
Right.
And success and money do go together, but it's funny. It's funny how I've seen people who have never ever had a success in their life, and they just are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Mm-hmm. They were born of rich parents, and they've never had to do anything. And we tend to judge them as well because they don't have.
Because we see them as quote unquote entitled.
That's right.
You know, and maybe they don't respect, you know, what other people do to gain their money.
They have no clue.
Right. They don't understand what it takes because, you know, they got lucky. And that's great. You know what? I hold nothing. And that's the thing. I'm one of those types. And I don't know. Maybe I'm a weirdo out there, Ellie, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If somebody's born into my, hey, great, good for you. But you know what? What are you going to do with it now? Are you going to do something good? Or are you going to be a jerk and kind of piss it all away? Same with, you know, because at one time in my radio career, you know, very, very high pay scale and things were looking very well. And, you know, I was making plans and things were going good. And then the bottom falls out and you got to kind of recover and you're kind of on your heels. But you know what? Because there wasn't a contract signed at that time. It was in negotiation. I missed out on that. But the other guys that were, you know, had theirs already signed, I didn't wish ill on them. It's like, hey, you got the deal. Great for you. You know, I don't wish anybody, you get what you negotiate for. And if you're able to show the worth and negotiate it and get it, hey, more power to you.
That's right. And our attitudes are so important about whether we succeed or not, or how we handle a setback. Because if we can see things are everything that happens that we don't want to happen, maybe it's just a temporary setback.
Right.
I mean, somebody dies, something goes under, or, you know, it's like you say, the things change and all of a sudden the opportunities that were there start to disappear. And well, that's when one door closes, another door opens, and we just have to be very. We need to believe these kinds of beliefs, or we just set ourselves up to get into a black hole that goes deeper and deeper.
Right. And then we start blaming everybody else instead of looking at ourselves and being like, well, what can I do different? How can I, you know, do I need to reinvent myself? Do I need to change my career path? I mean, what can I do?
What can I learn? And can this be of help to others? If any time we solve something, it may help someone else too.
Yeah, that's true. And it could be somebody that you know, or somebody you come across and be like, hey, you know what? Try this, or just some way that you can share that. Hey, this worked for me. It may not work for you, but you never know.
That's right. Exactly. And the thing is that we are on this world together for a reason. You know, we are, they say no man is an island and so forth. And yet we are, sometimes we are islands, but we're only islands for as long as we want to be.
Right.
There are people who, everyone is human and we do share certain characteristics. We need money. We need romance. We need recognition. We need security. Where, you know, and these basic needs that we have, sometimes we're so used to just having the bare minimum that success is having the bare minimum.
Right.
And so the core of belief about what is normal may need to change. Is like, if I have food and clothing and shelter, that may be all I really have to have in order to survive. But maybe I change my belief about what I need in order to survive. I need to have entertainment. I need to have stimulation. I need to feel I have a purpose or that I make a difference in the world. And that will shift the bottom line of what I will allow myself to attract as a basic need.
Right.
It's like broaden our basic needs from just food, clothing, and shelter to far beyond that.
Yeah.
I personally need to feel that I can make a difference, that my life I'm here for a reason, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And you know, I would say you definitely are, because let's face it, you've got people that are reaching out to you, that are calling you, that you're working with, that you're helping, you know, kind of overcome whatever problem, whether it be financial. We're talking a lot about money today. But it could be, you know, not only your relationship with money, but your relationship with food or your relationship with others, right?
That's correct. The relationship we have with anything in our world can have a belief attached to it that changes how it manifests for you. And if you like it, good. If you don't, then you need to do something about it. In my one-on-one sessions, I actually have had many experiences where people came in and we specifically made a contract to change their situation with money and looking for the different parts of the mind that were in sabotaging them and not letting them get past a certain point. And we've changed that. I've seen people sometimes in one or two sessions, sometimes in a few more, shift that deep orientation that's so ingrained in us so that they could actually start, pulling in a better income, feeling like they belong in the world of people who are well off.
Yeah, feeling empowered to be like, hey, you know what? I can do this. Don't let yourself be held back by your own self.
That's right.
Because a lot of times we're our biggest obstacles.
Yes, I've known people who opportunities would be thrown in front of them, and they'd find themselves victimized by the people who were presenting the opportunities and say, well, you know, I just can't trust anybody. I mean, this is, again, it's how much we trust ourselves is a very big part of allowing ourselves to get out there and be counted.
Yeah. And you make a great point about, you know, the sabotaging. It's like you get things thrown at you. Here's the opportunity. It's knocking. But you don't answer the door because you're like, well, can I really trust this person? Do I want to make that drive? You know what I mean? You put these obstacles that maybe they really aren't obstacles in your way.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. I have seen people turn jobs down because they didn't want to do the commute. And I can understand that, you know, that if there are, you know, various different factors. And sometimes people won't settle for anything less than what they've actually decided they want. And,
right.
And you know, there's something to be said for that, too.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to take the opportunities that come and see what doors they open.
Right.
And a door opens and another door opens and another door opens. And I mean, success doesn't just land on you. It's a process, and it's something where you learn and you grow as a human being and as a soul, as a spirit, in the process.
Yeah, because you know what? And you know, when it comes to money and manifesting it, manifesting success and what that success might look like to you, because it looks like it's different for everybody. You know, you might come out of college thinking, I'm going to do this. And then you get that job that you went to college for. And you're like, this is terrible. I don't even enjoy this. And if you don't enjoy it, guess what? You're not going to do well in it. And it's going to show. And you're going to find.
And I've met so many people who ended up doing something entirely different than what they got educated for.
Right. Because maybe they had a fear of, I better do this because or else I'm going to be unemployable. Or I'm never going to make any money, or I'm never going to be happy. And then you find out, it's like, oh, this stinks. I got to find something else.
Exactly. And surprisingly, more and more people are starting to understand, too, that they can be entrepreneurial. Because this is a huge part of our prosperity. Some people really need to be free to invent and to develop and lead, and the frustrated worker who's stuck in a company and can't, you know, that's another little avenue of to look into is there something that I can do entrepreneurially? And there are schools and online courses about how to be a successful entrepreneur. It's not like there's lack of coaching out there.
Yeah.
There's coaches who entrepreneurial coaches. And they help people to organize their product, their thinking, their resources, and so forth.
Right.
To actually, and I've seen more since the advent of the internet. There's more and more of that entrepreneurial spirit because people start things online, and maybe they don't have a company building, but they have a company spot on the internet.
Right. Yeah, or it's something that they're doing part-time while they have their full-time job and they're looking to create it. Because, again, that's how it all starts. And if you're willing to take that step, then hopefully, you know, that prosperity that you're looking for, that money, that success is going to find you because now you're putting yourself out there.
That's right. And you know, another little thing, too, is that sometimes people won't do something because it won't make them any money. And I think that people have to look at, I want to do what I need to do. Like if they want to learn to play the piano, or they want to become a singer, or do something that it, for some, from some perspectives would seem totally impractical, just by opening that door to your own creativity, your own need to express some kind of individuality, some kind of unique character that's yours, even if it's not going to make any money, I want to encourage people to find time for it, even if it's impractical, because things turn practical. You never know. You just don't know. The clues that we're having thrown to us by our spirit, by our guides, by friends, by family, the gifts that are being sent to us are so ephemeral. We don't know where they're going to go. And I think the big thing is be open-minded and say, is this an opportunity? And what would happen if I took it? We don't have to go right away jumping into it, but to start playing with that, the edges of reality and open those doors, because if the doors don't open, then it stays the same.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, we're just about out of time, Ellie, but I do have another caller online, so let's go there real quick. Caller, hello, what's your name?
Hi, this is Sue.
Hey, Sue, say hello to Ellie.
Hi, Ellie.
Hello there. What can I do? What can I say to you today?
Oh, I hope so. What's the best way to just begin changing your way of thinking? If you're stuck in old patterns and expectations, but there's something that makes your heart sing that you want to go for, but you're just stuck in that, this is what's expected, this is what I should do with my life, and so, you know, I guess it's what's safe. So how do you break out of that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways to look at that. That's a really wonderful question, because I think you're probably speaking for millions of people.
Not just me.
It's so safe. It is so safe to be, you know, doing what's expected of you and you know, just, you know, humdrumming along. And I think the biggest thing is to know who owns me. Who is my life? Who does my life belong to? It's really, you start there. And how much authority do we give to the outside to determine what we are? Of course we have to work together, and I want people to think well of me. I want a good reputation, all those things. We can't say that we're not concerned with what other people think. But, when it comes to you having the right and the privilege and the freedom to actually, take a step outside of the box and try something that sings to you, to try it. Give yourself permission. You are the boss. You own your life. And it's really important
I think that's huge. Give yourself permission rather than, you know, feeling guilty about it or
waiting for someone to give you that permission.
Right. That's true. Great advice.
So this is, I wish you the best, and remember, it's your life, and I wouldn't just jump out of what you're doing, but I would say, you know, follow those, something is singing to you, follow it, and see what happens.
Yeah, and remember, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
That's right.
Oh, well, that sounds great.
Thank you, Rick.
All right, you got it. Well, thank you for
thank
the call.
You so much.
Yeah, we appreciate the call, and thank you again to our Ellie Rosell on this edition of Our Beliefs Define Our Universe. As you can tell, we were talking about money and success and prosperity today. If you want to find out more about her, the great work she does through Core Belief Engineering, reach out to her 604-536-7402. Or go online to the website, and you can contact her through there as well. And check out her book, Changing the Mind, Healing the Body. The link to purchase the book is right there on the website, corebelief.ca. Ellie, great stuff today. Thank you so much.
Thank you too, Rick. It's been a wonderful opportunity.
All right, you got it. Have a great day. We'll be back with more on Elevated Radio right after these words.
You're locked in to Elevated Radio FM. Radio FM. Radio FM.